Hey, how's it going everyone, and welcome to another episode of Weekly Code Quickies, your weekly updates for tech news, coding tricks and tips and more. As always, I'm your host NobleBM, and in today's episode we're going to talk about the future of web development in 2022. Now, I wish I had a crystal ball and could tell you what the future holds for web development, but so far as trends go, this is my opinion on what direction 2022 is going to take for web development. So sit back and let me take you through the hype order of the future tech. And if you stick around to the end, I will tell you what I believe is the most hyped technology for 2022. So let's get started with no-code development platform, which are trying for some time to take over the development world. NCDPs allows programmers and non-programmers to create application software through graphical user interface and configurations, instead of traditional computer programming. No-code development platforms are closely related to low-code development platforms, as both are designed to expedite the application development process. These platforms have both increased in popularity, and companies deal with parallel trends of an increasingly mobile workforce and a limited supply of competent software developers. Some of the top non-code development platforms are Airtable, AppyPy, Quixie, AppSheet, and SurveySparrow, but there are many more. Also, NCDPs are used to meet the needs of companies that are seeking to digitize processes throughout cloud-based mobile applications. No-code tools are often designed with business users in mind, as opposed to traditional IT. Next are databases, which were a big thing in the 2000s, then not, and then now they are huge again. So much for trends come and go. But we do need to differentiate between SQL and non-SQL databases, where SQL stands for Structured Query Languages, where SQL stands for Structured Query Languages and lets you access and manipulate databases. Some main differences between SQL and non-SQL databases are as following. SQL is a database management system, and a non-SQL is a distributed database management system. SQL databases are vertically scalable, while non-SQL databases are horizontally scalable. SQL databases are table-based, while non-SQL databases are document, key-value, graph, or wide column stores. And the last one is that SQL databases are better for multi-row transactions, while non-SQL databases is better for unstructured data like documents or JSON. Because our data has become so precious in the last decade, those of you who want to work in data science, here are the top non-SQL databases you should know. The number one would be MongoDB. This is a non-SQL database. MongoDB is the most widely used document-based database, and it stores the documents in JSON objects. As it stands, there are more than 4,000 companies using MongoDB in their tech stack. MongoDB is also a component of the MERN stack, which stands for MongoDB, Express, React, and Node.js. The next one would be Cassandra. Cassandra is an open-source distributed database system that was initially built by Facebook and motivated by the Google's Bigtable. It is widely available and quite scalable, and it can also handle petabytes of information and thousands of concurrent requests per second. Next one is Elasticsearch, which is also an open-source distributed non-SQL database system. It is highly scalable and consistent. You can also call it as an analytic engine. It can easily analyze, store, and search huge volumes of data. And then there is Amazon DynamicDB. It is a key-value-based distributed database system created by Amazon, of course, and it is highly scalable. But unfortunately, it is not open source. But what is pretty cool about it is that it can easily handle 10 trillion requests per day. Now let's put on our tinfoil hats and talk about AI. And when it comes to web development, GitHub's Copilot is what makes web developers run away scared like little smurfs. GitHub Copilot is an artificial intelligence tool developed by GitHub and OpenAI. assist users of Visual Studio Code, NoVim, and JetBrains by auto-completing code. It was first announced by GitHub on 29 January 2021. But I don't think that Copilot is going to replace any developers. It will rather spare me the time of opening up Google or Stack Overflow and searching directly in Visual Studio Code instead of going to other sites to search for an answer. Remember, knowledge on its own is not power. Applied knowledge is where the real power lies. And one thing that AI will never be is innovative. But what I will strongly bet on in the future is still JavaScript. Remember, whoever knows JavaScript has the fundamentals of the web at his fingertips. Knowing JavaScript also means that you will never have a problem jumping around frameworks like Angular, React, and Vue.js. Knowing JavaScript is like having the one ring to rule them all. As different variants and extensions appear over the time for frameworks like Next.js, Remix, and Hydrogen from Shopify, at which we took a look in previous episodes, at their core, these are still based on JavaScript and hold huge promises for the future of web development. So again, relying on JavaScript means relying on the fundamentals. One of the biggest promises of the future is Web 3.0. Now, I did a previous episode on Web 3.0, so I would suggest checking that one out also. Some say it is the path to a truly decentralized internet. Others say it is a way to just pump up prices for meaningless cryptocurrencies. But it does hold huge promises for essential technologies like cloud computing, collaborative software, smart contracts, blockchain, DAOs, and creator economy. Now, all of these technologies make me a true believer in Web 3.0. And also, Web 3.0 makes a huge promise of freedom from the big tech companies that control the current internet, which are Google, Meta, formerly known as Facebook, and Amazon. I also heard in a Joe Rogan podcast that in some countries, phones come pre-installed with Facebook, and they kind of believe that Facebook is the internet, which I find so creepy. So here is where Web 3.0 comes into play with decentralized app like DApp. DApps are digital applications or programs that exist and run on blockchains or peer-to-peer networks of computers instead of a single computer. DApps are outside the pure view and control of a single authority. Decentralized applications are often built on Ethereum platforms and can be developed for a variety of purposes, including games, finance, and social media. But the most important feature of a DApp is that users own their own data. And this is done by being part of a blockchain instead of the data sitting on some server at a big corporation. Okay, here's the big one, the metaverse. And just to conclude on recent events, Mark Zuckerberg recently announced that Facebook is going Meta, just a rebrand to the Meta name. So you probably already saw that as soon as you open up an app like Instagram, WhatsApp, or even Facebook, it says by Meta. What Mark Zuckerberg imagines in his metaverse is pretty creepy, but in my opinion, he's just trying to capitalize on the name of metaverse itself. Because the real concept of the metaverse is building an internet-based platform with different entry points like phone, VR, so forth and so on, where you will have a username and a password and an avatar for everything. And also you can take your metaverse possessions and bring them to different applications in the metaverse. While the idea is pretty cool, I myself will definitely throw up if you put a VR headset on me. But what is not for me doesn't mean that it's not for others. Especially that I see a lot of possibilities for building applications for this universe. Just remember, those who made the most money in a gold rush were those who sold the shovels. Okay everyone, so hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, give it a review, give it a thumbs up, share it with others, subscribe if you're not already, and I wish you a lovely day. Bye-bye.